Can't seem to find affordable car insurance? Compare your options all in one place at The Zebra. Simply go to thezebra.com/iHeart, answer a few questions, then compare real-time insurance quotes for free. It's quick and easy. And with The Zebra, there are no hidden fees or surprises. Guaranteed. You can even lock in your rate right away with one of our licensed insurance agents. How much can you save on your car insurance? Find out at thezebra.com/iHeart. That's thezebra.com/iHeart. The Zebra. Insurance in black and white.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Allie Highsong. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. On the program, we discuss the Browns game against the Chicago Bears. We also talk Browns offense and defense, Baker Mayfield, the Browns next game against the Minnesota Vikings, and so much more. Allie is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
I'm pretty sure our new house might be haunted.
What makes you say that?
The furniture is levitating. Oh, and the ghost.
Welcome home.
Yeah, that's spooky.
You know what's really scary? Missing out on GEICO for help with homeowners and renters insurance. GEICO makes it easy to save a bunch.
Great! You're not sticking around, right?
The party's just getting started.
Happy GEICO Week. Call today and see how easy homeowners and renters insurance can be.
If you've got a personal auto insurance question, you could talk to a cab driver, although the policies he recommends might include avoiding the interstate, beating traffic by taking the back roads, and only making left turns when absolutely necessary. Or you could talk to your local GEICO agent, whose policy is to use their expertise to navigate your insurance, finding the best route to help you save money on insurance for your home, car, and more. And as an added bonus, you'll be able to avoid traffic jams and potholes entirely. To find a GEICO agent near you, visit geico.com/local.
With more time at home, your culinary skills have improved, but don't stop there. The selection and expertise at Best Buy can help you get the latest tech to take your skills to the next level. Cooking chops unlocked. Details at BestBuy.com. You might like absolute silence or lo-fi beats. Maybe you stand, sit, or relocate every hour. You might want fresh coffee always within reach, or a game nearby for those quick breaks. Whatever your work style, you deserve a setup that inspires. And Best Buy tech experts can help you online, in-store, or at home so you can find what's right for you. Work for you space achieved. Details at BestBuy.com.
After a long wait, it's finally time to get the family back together again, and nature is just a short drive away. Vrbo has thousands of private vacation homes where you can be miles away from everything, but get closer to the ones you love. So whether it's a lake house with a grill, a cabin with a hot tub, or a chalet with a foyer, Vrbo has the perfect place for your family reunion. Download the Vrbo app. The time for getting back together is now. After a long wait, it's finally time to get the family back together again, and nature is just a short drive away. Vrbo has thousands of private vacation homes where you can be miles away from everything, but get closer to the ones you love. So whether it's a lake house with a grill, a cabin with a hot tub, or a chalet with a foyer, Vrbo has the perfect place for your family reunion. Download the Vrbo app. The time for getting back together is now.
Welcome to Modern Life, a brand new podcast from Fidelity Investments that's here to help you live your best life. From marriage and parenting to choosing a career and deciding how to invest your time and money, each week you'll hear stories from incredible people about triumph, change, and discovering their purpose. Search Modern Life wherever you find your podcast and hit follow or subscribe for new episodes. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.
It's a fact. All cars will eventually break down. If you have CarShield, you can protect yourself from the high cost of auto repairs. And they're America's number one auto protection company. Your transmission, engine, and car's computer system are all covered. Get the ultimate vehicle service protection. Call CarShield now at 800-932-1729. That's 800-932-1729.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
When you game with Alienware, you have the freedom to be anyone, like the galaxy's most feared warrior, and the freedom to go anywhere. Elevate your gameplay with the new Alienware X-Series laptops with 11th Gen Intel Core processors. Defy boundaries and start gaming now at Alienware.com.
Welcome to Modern Life, a brand new podcast from Fidelity Investments that's here to help you live your best life. From marriage and parenting to choosing a career and deciding how to invest your time and money, each week you'll hear stories from incredible people about triumph, change, and discovering their purpose. Search Modern Life wherever you find your podcast and hit follow or subscribe for new episodes. Fidelity Broker Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Acme for You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Acme for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Acme Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit acmemarkets.com/foryou for program details.
Welcome to Modern Life, a brand new podcast from Fidelity Investments that's here to help you live your best life. From marriage and parenting to choosing a career and deciding how to invest your time and money, each week you'll hear stories from incredible people about triumph, change, and discovering their purpose. Search Modern Life wherever you find your podcast and hit follow or subscribe for new episodes. Fidelity Broker Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.
Third down and 10. Blitz coming. Mayfield steps up. Guns it complete. It is Odell Beckham Jr. Welcome back to the Browns and a first down for Cleveland.
You got Quinn and Cleo Mack lined up together.
Mayfield escapes. Looking to run. Penalty flag. First down and then some. And Mayfield into Bears territory. Suffer today. The Browns get a first down and they'll fake it again. Mayfield's got a man wide open. And there he goes again. It is Felton. Browns, Bears, two of the great organizations in the league. And a first and 15 after the penalty. It is Mayfield. Has time. Fires to a man. Wide open. Is he inbounds? Peoples Jones is inbounds. Down to the 29.
Anytime you play this old Tampa 2, this trap coverage, they call that the hole shot.
Second down. Mayfield over the middle. Good catch. Had to stretch for that one. Did Beckham.
You heard.
Second down on the fake pressure. Calling it. He is buried. It's Owusu Koramoah again. Garrett was there too. Well, the rookie from Notre Dame is having a big impact on this game early.
See Owusu Koramoah right here. He kind of just pulls the trigger. He's delaying. He sees the hard action.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports, and you heard the highlights from the Cleveland Browns' victory over the Chicago Bears in Week 3 of the 2021 NFL season. That was Baker Mayfield doing his thing against the Bears, and, of course, Myles Garrett recording a sack against the Bears. To talk more about that game as well as the upcoming Browns game against the Minnesota Vikings, we want to welcome her back to the program. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast, the podcast dedicated to all things related to the Cleveland Browns, Allie Hisong. Hey, Allie, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So let's get right to it. The Cleveland Browns pulled off an impressive victory over the Chicago Bears, 26-6. What were your takeaways from this victory?
Well, there's a lot that went into it. This was a game that the Browns defense was able to get it right. You know, as we've seen really up until this point, they added 9 new starters on the defense. And we knew it was going to take some time to gel, but they finally were able to get it right. There were some question marks regarding Joe Woods' defensive scheme, the personnel, you know, is this really going to work? But this was a game for the Browns defense to get it right. And I think they absolutely came out. They made a stand. Myles Garrett, 4.5 sacks, which was the single game sack record for the Cleveland Browns, coming out with 4.5, which was absolutely insane. 9 total sacks on the day. The Browns defense at every level was elite. Their secondary was doing pretty well, but I guess that is, a lot easier to do when you're the pass rush is just absolutely getting after the quarterback. But even offensively, this is Odell Beckham Jr.'s first game coming back off of that ACL injury. He makes a statement with, I believe it's like 77 yards on 5 receptions. Baker Mayfield, maybe not his best game, but even when he doesn't have his best game, they can still go out, they can execute, and they can stick to their identity. So overall, I think this was a good game for the Browns to just get it right.
Indeed, they did get it right, and you mentioned about the defense, and we're going to talk more about the defense in just a moment, but I want to talk more in detail about the offense. The running game in this very early part of the NFL season, Allie, has been very impressive, particularly with the running tandem of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. We saw flashes of it last year, but so far so good this year. In the game against the Bears, Nick Chubb had 22 carries for 84 yards, and then Kareem Hunt had 10 carries for 81 yards. And a touchdown. Just give me your thoughts on how Nick and Kareem played in this game, and how do you see them going forward for the remainder of the year?
Well, I'm of the belief that the Browns have the best running game in the National Football League. I think that this was Kareem Hunt's best game as a Cleveland Brown. I think the Bears' game plan was to come out and stop Nick Chubb, and they really did. They limited him. He didn't have his most explosive game, but oh, by the way, that's okay because the Browns also have Kareem Hunt, who is an elite running back in the National Football League, backing up Nick Chubb. So I'm of the belief that this was his best game as a Cleveland Brown. And also adding in Demetric Felton, the rookie out of UCLA. He was a 6th-round pick this past draft. And he fills a role of being a running back / wide receiver. He stepped up in some big ways over the past couple of weeks, especially with Jarvis Landry out. But just to add some versatility there in the run game. And I think it was incredibly helpful, too, in the game against the Chicago Bears. Andy Janovich had some more playing time, and I think adding in that true fullback is incredibly helpful to the run game, especially when the Browns' offensive line didn't have their best game.
All right, and let's move along now to the receiving side. And you mentioned, of course, this is Odell Beckham Jr. This was Odell Beckham Jr.'s first game back since the suffering that injury in October, and they're going to need him for a while because Jarvis Landry is on injured reserve, and he held his own in this in his first game back from the injury. Again, Odell had 5 catches for 77 yards. Also, Kareem Hunt made a contribution on the receiving side. Also, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Rashard Higgins, who have been very good in the last couple of years for the Browns, they stepped up in this contest. Austin Hooper, a major tight end, scored a touchdown in the contest. Give me your thoughts on Odell as well as the rest of the receiving squad and what they did in the victory against the Bears.
Well, I think it was a lot of fun for us Browns fans to be able to see Odell Beckham Jr. come back and really just look like himself. He had 5 receptions, 77 yards, but he was also filling in because you mentioned Jarvis Landry's out. He's on injured reserve. There was some redundancy, and I was very I took a hard stance on this in this offseason. There was some redundancy in the receiver room. You had a lot of guys that could do a lot of the same things. Jarvis Landry, Hollywood Higgins kind of do a lot of the same things, but you add in Odell Beckham Jr., and he's just so dynamic that he just shifts this room. He was playing multiple roles on Sunday. He was, doing some, middle of the field work, but also able to take the top off of the defense. So it was a lot of fun for me to watch him come back and just look like the Odell Beckham Jr. that we know and love. But still probably a long ways for him to go. I know he mentioned after the game that he was absolutely exhausted, which is normal, I suppose, coming off of an ACL injury. But really looking forward to him continuing down the stretch of the rest of the season. You mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones. He had 2 beautiful catches. They were absolutely amazing in that game. He always seems to come up in the most clutch moments with those big catches, which is what you like to see out of a 6th-round second-year receiver out of Michigan. I mentioned earlier Demetric Felton, him adding versatility to the receiving game. He's been filling in a little bit more for Jarvis Landry now that he's out. But another name is he brings to the table. Now, he wasn't exactly highlighted against the Bears, but if you go back, even in week one against the Kansas City Chiefs, just his ability to gain speed, which is elite-level speed, by the way, world-class speed, and just be able to be a vertical threat. That adds so much versatility to this receiving room, and I think that there's going to be so much more to come. And Chad O'Shea, the wide receivers coach, has so much to work with in this offense with that receiving core.
I want to stay with the receiving side for a moment. Jarvis Landry, again, is on injured reserve, and he is expected to return in a few weeks or so for the Browns. But we know that Jarvis, if there's substance and style, Odell Beckham Jr. would provide the style to the receiving core. But Jarvis Landry just is the substance. He brings, like, not just the toughness, but a versatility because they've been able to use him in a variety of pass plays. We know Odell is great in his own right, but who, in your opinion, Allie, who's going to be the one to step up in that Jarvis Landry role until he comes back off of injured reserve?
Well, you mentioned it. Jarvis Landry, he is the heart and soul of this team. He brings the energy. He brings the juice. I suppose that's why it's his nickname. But stepping up in that role, I really think you have to give some attention right now to Demetric Felton. He stepped up in some big ways. I'm excited for what he brings to the table with his versatility, with his energy. I was lucky enough to have him on my podcast, the Here We Go Brownies podcast, earlier this offseason. And just he has that similar energy, that passion, that positivity that he brings to the table. So maybe not even so much in a slot receiver type of role, but even just bringing that positivity and that leadership that is now gone because Jarvis isn't out there. But I think keep an eye on him. Donovan Peoples-Jones, we mentioned. Those 2 6th-round picks, man, I think that Andrew Berry just found some hidden gems later on in the draft. But keeping an eye on both of those guys to step up and make some huge plays in the absence of Jarvis Landry.
I want to stay just with the absence of Landry again and the two tight ends with Austin Hooper and David Njoku. I know Austin Hooper coming from Atlanta has really paid off big dividends so far for Cleveland. How big of a role? I know Hooper's going to be big this year, but how big of a role will you see Hooper as well as David Njoku play for the tight ends and the receiving side?
Well, we do know that Kevin Stefanski, he likes to run those heavy formations. And we saw that a lot, really, for the first couple of weeks here. They'll roll out three tight ends and then throw a receiver out there. Week one, they did that several times, and Anthony Schwartz was that downfield threat, which really opened up the middle of the field, and it really allowed for Anthony Schwartz to make some big plays. But just specifically in that tight end room, I said this last year, David Njoku and Austin Hooper really are the perfect complements to each other. You have Austin Hooper, who's that prototypical tight end. He can block pretty well. He can work the middle of the field. He's got pretty decent hands. And then David Njoku is a little bit more of a big body receiver that can go down the field, make those basketball-style plays in those big moments where you need him. But then also throwing Harrison Bryant there into the mix as well, who is a little bit of a best of both worlds situation. He's a young player coming into his second year who I think is going to play a huge role, and just his ability to continue to learn and sit behind two of the NFL's best in David Njoku and Austin Hooper.
Rightfully so, and let's move along now to on the defensive side. And you mentioned about Austin Hooper being one of the best tight ends in the league, and David Njoku definitely on his way to being that. And one of the best defensive linemen in the league is Myles Garrett, man. He had a career day within itself. He had 4.5 sacks against the Bears. I mean, Myles Garrett, he's been on a roll since he's received that big contract extension in the offseason. Just give me your thoughts on Myles and his performance in this game and what he plans to do going forward in 2021.
Man, Myles, he came out and made a statement, that's for sure. There were some people in the fan base talking about, hey, where's Myles been in week one and week two? He didn't quite seem like the Myles Garrett that we know and love. We know after he got off of the COVID list last year that, you know, he just wasn't quite himself, and it took him some time to get back to the Myles Garrett that we all, that we all know. And he came back against the Bears, and he just absolutely made a statement with 4.5 sacks. Which, again, is the single-game sack record for the Browns, which is just a remarkable thing to do. But you know, he made his presence known very, very early. In weeks one and two, he was getting a lot of chips, just a lot of double and triple teaming on him. But really, the Bears' offensive line just could not stop him. There was some questionable coaching and questionable play calls, I would suppose, but Myles Garrett just absolutely made his presence known from the get-go, and I really think he's going to carry that same presence as we go through the remainder of the season.
I want to stay with Myles for a moment. I know we're still very early into the season. How do you think he stacks up in terms of a defensive player of the becoming a defensive player of the year award? I mean, there's him, there's Aaron Donald, there's Nick Bosa, the list goes on and on. Cam Jordan. Mm-hmm. How do you see him ranking up in terms of maybe not getting a defensive player of the year award?
Well, I think it was very possible for him last year pre-COVID. And I think now if he can continue to play like he did against the Bears, I think it's not even going to be close. He'll walk away with that award. There is some heavy competition there. You mentioned Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt. There's some very, very, very good pass rushers in the NFL right now. But Myles Garrett, he's just different. He's got that elusive bend. He's got those quick hips, and he can just absolutely be a game wrecker. And it really helps him to have somebody opposite him, like a Jadeveon Clowney, a Kyrus McKinley. Those guys really are elevating his gameplay. Unfortunately, last year with Olivier Vernon, he didn't quite get that pressure early on pre-COVID. Now, of course, once Myles did go out, Olivier did step up a little bit. But Myles really hasn't had an elite defensive line or an elite front seven really this point in his career. So I think having those other compliments to him is just going to boost his game and allow him to be the player that we know he is.
All right, well, you mentioned his name, and I'm going to go to the next person, Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon had a great game as well. He had two sacks in this game, and during the offseason, it was something else because Jadeveon was being he wanted to go back to Seattle. There were contract negotiations with him, maybe going back to Seattle. That thing didn't work out. Then there was a possibility of him going to New Orleans, and there were a couple of other cities. He decided to come to Cleveland, and he wound up having two sacks in this game against the Bears. Just give me your thoughts on Jadeveon's performance in this game and what do you see planned for him going forward?
Well, I was so excited when the Browns were able to bring him in. I think there was a lot of mutual interest there. We tried last year to go after and get him. He ends up signing with the Titans. It just didn't work out. But everything played out the way that it needed to. He's now a Cleveland Brown. And I think this game was the first game that he made his presence known early on. I think it was the first or second play. I mean, he was right in Justin Fields' face. So I think that the Bears' offensive line just didn't quite have an answer. Obviously, nine sacks for this defensive line. But I think this is the first time that Clowney's been healthy for a good part of his career. He wasn't quite healthy last year. He wasn't really healthy in Seattle. Even back to his days in Houston, he just wasn't playing healthy. He came out early on in the preseason and said, hey, I'm actually feeling good. This is the first time in my career that I feel this way. I'm excited to get back to the player that I know that I can be. And I think if he can remain healthy, man, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney are going to just absolutely be game wreckers going down the stretch of this season.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely something else to watch them play going forward in this season. A couple of other names I want to mention on the defensive side, Jeremiah Owosu, Koromoa, Denzel Ward, and Greg Newsom, they all did their part as well. They had three tackles in this game. Just kind of give me your thoughts on how they performed against the Bears.
Well, you mentioned it, Jeremiah Owosu-Koromoa. He slipped to the second round. The Browns were able to grab him, really, which is just remarkable knowing the talent that he is. The presence that he brings, his instinct. I remember there was one play that he got a sack, and it wasn't even a called blitz. It was just him being, you know, his intelligence there on the field and following his instincts and being able to make a play on the ball. Not having Anthony Walker, your play caller on the defense, it really elevated JOK's play and gave him some more responsibility. And I think he's really showing out. I'm so impressed with his play so far. I think he's absolutely a stud, the way he was able to shed some blocks and still be undersized. He's got the awareness. He's got the mentality. I think he's got some very, he's got a very bright future ahead of him as a Cleveland Brown. Now, you mentioned the secondary. Earlier on in the program, I mentioned, you know, the secondary was able to be locked down, but I suppose that's easier to do when your defensive front is just able to get after the quarterback. I think Justin Fields, his time to throw was under a second, which is absolutely insane to think about. And, of course, your secondary is going to be able to make plays on the ball when your quarter, when the quarterback's just not able to get it out correctly and go through his reads. Greg Newsom, I think, had one of his best games. He's really showing out. I think that the Browns got a steal in him with the number 26 overall pick this past year. Denzel Ward, he's played a couple of rough games. I think he's still just kind of, you know, coming into himself. I think he's an elite player, but hasn't had the best few weeks. But really that pairing of Greg Newsom, Denzel Ward, and the safety room, of course, is elite. But it was really helpful to them, I would imagine, this past week with the help of the that front seven just being able to get after the quarterback.
All right, and then we had Ronnie Harrison had a sack. We stay in the secondary for a moment. He had two tackles and a sack in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Ronnie and how you felt he performed in this game.
Oh, I love Ronnie. I love the safety room with John Johnson, Ronnie, and Grant Delpit. I think Joe Woods loves three safeties out there, just shaking up some of the looks and being able to disguise the defense, especially to a rookie quarterback, which would allow guys like Ronnie Harrison to make those plays. But really, he wasn't able to come into himself last year. He came in midseason from Jacksonville, thrown right on in there, and then, of course, battled injuries. So this is the first year for him to really be comfortable within the defensive playbook and in this defensive scheme under Joe Woods. I really think he is supposed to have a big-time year. And then you have guys like Grant Delpit and John Johnson that are able to just kind of lock down that secondary and allow Ronnie Harrison in that rotation to just be able to make some big-time plays and big-time moments.
All right, and then on the get back to the D-line for a moment. Malik Jackson and Tack McKinley both had recorded a half of a sack in the game against the Bears. Just give me your thoughts on Malik and Tack and how they've performed and what do you see them doing going forward?
The interior of this defensive line, I think, has been pretty darn good. I'm not going to classify them right now as elite because there's still some movement right on in there. Andrew Billings didn't play this game, and I think really us fans thought he was going to have a bigger role so far this season. But both Malik Jackson, Malik McDowell, have really stepped up into that role into the interior defensive line. But the Browns do like to run somewhat of that NASCAR package where you have Myles Garrett on one end, Tack McKinley on the other, Jadeveon Clowney at the three technique, then, of course, Malik Jackson there in the interior, and just flat-out getting after the quarterback. It's who they are. It's what they do. It's kind of becoming their identity. Tack McKinley, I thought going into this season that he was going to have a big-time year, and I still think that's absolutely possible. I projected him to have double-digit sacks, especially with that talent that's on that front four. It's just absolutely incredible. The Browns just, they have a lot of talent there. I'm sure Chris Kiffin, the defensive line coach, is thrilled with what he has to work with and all those names that we just mentioned. But what I like to see against the Bears is they were just all working together and they were all making plays.
All right. And then, of course, you know, speaking of making plays, the NFL is all about the play of the quarterback, and it's been a quarterback's league for a long time. And Baker Mayfield, of course, is the franchise quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. In this game against the Bears, he completed 19 out of 31 passes for 246 yards, and he had a touchdown pass. I know you said earlier, Allie, that Baker, in your opinion, didn't play his best game, but he was solid. Just kind of elaborate more on Baker and his performance against the Bears.
Well, I think it's important to know this is his fourth game in a row with a 95% more passer rating, which is the second longest streak in franchise history. So he, don't get me wrong, even though he didn't play his best game against the Bears, he is still playing at a very, very, very high level. He was injured in week two against the Texans. You know, he had a little bit of a shoulder injury, comes back this week. You can blame the lack of elite play on the shoulder or the Bears front seven really just being able to get after Baker a little bit and make him uncomfortable. But overall, I think he's making the right reads. There are a couple throws I would imagine that he would probably want to have back in that game. But overall, I think Baker is playing lights out for 246 yards. This air attack is absolutely elite. You're going to get some of those guys back, like a Jarvis Landry. And, you know, and some of these defenses, you know, they game plan for that. You know, their whole mentality coming into this game was, let's stop Nick Chubb. But Kevin Stefanski, Baker Mayfield, they said, no problem. We'll stick to Kareem Hunt, and we'll open it up with the air attack. So I think Baker has been playing very well. Of course, I'm not sure what's going on with that shoulder, if that was a little bit of a limitation for him this week. But overall, I'm very pleased with his play.
I want to stay with Baker for a moment. You know, the NFL doesn't just stand for the National Football League, but it stands for not for long. And not for long will you be in the league, whether playing quarterback or any other position, especially quarterback, where it's such a high profile and a very high demand and a high stress position. Baker Mayfield is in year four now. How confident are you, Allie, that Baker will take even a bigger leap? We saw the Browns make a big leap last year, making the playoffs and things of that nature. But how confident are you, pending, you mentioned with the shoulder, but how confident are you that Baker could really take this thing to the next level and get Cleveland even further along in the postseason run?
I'm 100% confident. All of me is confident in the ability of Baker Mayfield, but it's not just so much in the ability of Baker Mayfield, but also taking a look at the coaching staff and the continuity that's finally coming back. For the first time in what I can remember as a Browns fan, this is the first time that you not only run it back with your head coach, but also both coordinators. So the offensive verbiage is staying the same. The offensive play calling is staying the same. That playbook looks exactly the same. And this is the first time in Baker's career that he has that continuity. He hasn't had that structure up until this point, which has been kind of, probably a very big reason to his erratic play up until this point. But as I mentioned, this is his fourth straight game with a 95% or more passer rating, and I really see for that trend to continue.
All right, and let's move along now to the Browns' next game against the Minnesota Vikings. As I mentioned earlier, it's a quarterbacks league, and Baker is the quarterback of the Browns, and they have a gentleman who received a nice contract just a few seasons ago at Kirk Cousins, getting the fully guaranteed money. The Vikings won a big game this past week against the Seattle Seahawks. And Kirk Cousins, again, even though we know Minnesota's bread and butter is the running game and the defense, but Kirk Cousins has been good. He's been good. He's had his moments where he hasn't done well in big games, but he's trying to change all of that. Took them to a playoff game last year. So, Allie, I got to ask you this. What must the Browns defense do to neutralize Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen in that Vikings passing game?
Well, in my eyes, if the Browns even show up and play half as good, the Browns defense, that is, play half as good as they did against the Bears, I think they can stop anybody in the NFL. When they're firing on all cylinders like that, that front four is just dominant and wrecking and getting into the face of Kirk Cousins, along with the secondary being able to lock that down. JOK and this linebacking core just being able to kind of, remain there in the middle of the field and make those instinctual plays. I think that they can beat anybody. So in order to stop this pretty darn good football team, if Myles Garrett can even just have a shred of a game that he did against the Bears, I don't even think it's going to be close.
All right, well, you know, I mentioned about Kirk Cousins and, of course, with Justin Jefferson, and there's Adam Thielen, but also they've got the defense has got to go up against one of the best running backs in the league, and that's the chef, Dalvin Cook. Now, Dalvin didn't play in this game against the Seahawks. He's expected to be healthy and ready to go against the Browns. If he does play, Allie, what do you expect the Browns defense to do to neutralize someone like as versatile as Dalvin Cook?
Well, I mentioned that NASCAR package that they like to call it, and that's having Tack McKinley and Myles Garrett there on the edges and then throwing Jadeveon Clowney there in the middle, because what we know about Jadeveon Clowney is he's absolutely capable of getting to the quarterback, but his play so far throughout his career has defined that he is an elite run stopper. So I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Woods throws that out there a little bit more often than not. To be able to stop Dalvin Cook in this run game. But also looking for another big game from the linebacking core, Jeremiah Usu-Koromoa. Hopefully Mack Wilson can step up. Sione Takitaki was out last week. But there's some Malcolm Smith, Elijah Lee, some very good linebackers that are very capable of stopping this run. And I think if the front four, as we mentioned, are just able to, impose their will as they did last week, that it's really not going to give Minnesota too much of a chance to run the football the way that they would like to.
okay, and then let's switch it over to the other side of the ball. Now, well, we've got Cleveland's offense, which is was awesome against the Bears. What do you think Cleveland's offense? What do you think Cleveland's offense needs to do to get points against that Viking defense? Because we know Vikings defense, they came up big, stopping Russell Wilson in that Seattle offense. Meet Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter. There's Sheldon Richardson and Dalvin Tomlinson. Also Anthony Barr is in the mix as well. They've got Patrick Peterson. So what do you think the Browns offense needs to do to get points against that Viking defense?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's going to be important for them to control the time of possession. And I think they do that by establishing the run. That's what their identity is. That's who they are. They've got Nick Chubb. They've got Kareem Hunt. I think they start running the ball, and they start running the ball early. Once they're able to score and get up, I wouldn't be surprised to see them continuing to do that. I think this is going to be a nice bounce-back game for Nick Chubb. He didn't have exactly his best game against the Bears, so I would imagine that would be some fuel for him to step up and have a pretty darn good game against the Minnesota Vikings. But I also think this is going to be a big game for Baker Mayfield. Everybody had all eyes on Odell Beckham Jr. against the Bears, but that was his first game back off of injury. I would not be surprised in the next couple of weeks if he just goes big. He's finally able to get back to who he is, and I would think that, you know, Minnesota might be a good game for OBJ to start stepping up. He'll have a nice couple of touchdowns, maybe some elite plays like we know that he's able to do. But I really think that they're going to be able to control one, the line of scrimmage, and control the time of possession by Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
All right, and then that's Ali Highsong giving us the 411 on the recap in the Cleveland Browns game against the Chicago Bears, and we're previewing the game against the Minnesota Vikings. Ali, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody what you do as the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It's a show by the fans for the fans. And, hey, anytime I get to talk a little bit of football, it's a win for me. We cover all things Cleveland Browns. But, of course, we go around the league. We like to cover the AFC North, of course, and see what our rivals are doing and who we're up against. But we cover the entire NFL. We dive into some college football. But, you know, it's a Cleveland-based show, even though I'm in South Carolina. But anytime I get to talk a little bit of sports, it's a lot of fun for us.
Awesome, awesome. And again, tell everybody, where can they find you on social media as well as the Here We Go Brownies podcast? Any websites that you have, just let them know that as well.
Absolutely. You can check us out at herewegobrownies.com, on Twitter at Go Brownies Live, on Facebook at Official Here We Go Brownies. And you can follow me, of course, on any social. It's Ali_Highsong.
All right, and you heard it from her. She is Ali Highsong. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to all things dealing with the Cleveland Browns. As she mentioned, you can follow her on Twitter and also check out the Here We Go Brownies podcast on Facebook as well as the other various social media platforms. Ali, thank you so much once again. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Be back with more right after this.
Third down and 10. Blitz coming. Mayfield steps up. Guns it complete. It is Odell Beckham Jr. Welcome back to the Browns and a first down for Cleveland.
You got Quinn and Cleo Mack lined up together.
Mayfield escapes. Looking to run. Penalty flag. First down and then some. And Mayfield in the Bears territory. Suffer today. The Browns get a first down, and they'll fake it again. Mayfield's got a man wide open, and there he goes again. It is Felton. Browns, Bears to the great organization. Second down on the fake. Pressure coming, and he is buried. It's Owusu Koramoah again. Garrett was there, too. Well, the rookie from Notre Dame is having a big impact on this game early.
See Owusu Koramoah right here. He kind of just pulled.
Listen to some good old-fashioned country. And when you do, cook up the best sausage in the country. Eckrich Smoked Sausage. Naturally hardwood smoked and crafted with just the right blend of spices. Perfect for lunch, dinner, or even right now. Eckrich. You do you.
Shall we do this? The Property Brothers have a new streaming home.
On Discovery Plus.
Start your free trial now, and you can stream every show they've ever done.
How excited are you?
We're so happy. This is great.
Discovery Plus. Stream now for just $4.99.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Ali Hysong, the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Thank you to Ali once again for taking time out of her busy schedule to be on the program. And until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.